Tonight we're honored to have Pramila, who she is definitely one that has made me think more than once that I am an alcoholic also, and I must have what she has. I give you praise.
Well, thank you very much. I'm just delighted to be here. What a great looking group. And I'm glad I've got this opportunity to share, because I wanted to let you all get to know me a little bit better. And I was raised up on the south side of Atlanta. All right. I was raised up on the south side of Atlanta near the airport, a small town called Hapeville. And I still live on the south side of Atlanta today because it just seemed like I loved Haley. I'm glad everyone came to support me tonight. I seem like I just like the way the land lies down there, and I just like the people I run into. Hapeville's got its own little post office and fire department and police department and all. It's just a little village down there, but I've got all the amenities of the big city and all. And My mother is from East Alabama, and my father is from South Alabama. So I have got a good dose of country in me. And one time someone asked me, why did birds fly upside down over Alabama? And I was just stumped. And they said, because there ain't nothing worth shitting on in Alabama. I said, oh, wait a minute. My people were from Alabama. So, my mother and father didn't seem like they ever really too much liked each other after the first couple of years. There was a lot of strife and disagreement in my home, and my dad was pretty much an absentee parent. He worked and provided a good living and all, but I didn't have a Leave It to Beaver childhood with the involvement of the parents and all. But I don't know, somehow I just felt separate. I just felt apart from. I felt separate from the others. I had my little girlfriends, and I went to grammar school and all, but deep down underneath, I just felt like I was alone, and I felt strange. And also, my parents did divorce, and my dad left and took his money, and my mother had to, she quit school at 17 to marry my dad. And so, bless her heart, she went to nursing school after my parents were divorced and, quote, made something of herself, you know, how Southern vernacular is, if you make something of yourself. It's what she did. So, I don't know. At about 11, there were some good-looking teenage boys down the street from me, and somehow it got out that they were going to drink some beer that night. And asked me, did I want to come? And sure, you know, at 10 or 11, I wanted to go and hang with the good-looking teenage boys and do all this. And I asked my mom, could I go outside that night? And I'll be darned if she didn't say no. The one night she said no. So I went anyway. You know. Right at that time, I could see maybe the seed sprouting. I had to have things my way, self-willed and all. So I got back in that evening, and Mother said, "Well, what have you been doing?" And real nonchalant-like, I said, "Oh, I just been out drinking some beer." And she tore my butt up. But as I've been sober and started to think about that, I guess that was the first time maybe that I associated alcohol with daringness and romance, being with the good-looking teenage boys and self-will and all. So I guess maybe that was the first time I began to associate those feelings. And I progressed on in going to school and going to high school and things of that nature. And I don't really recall doing too much drinking. I married my high school sweetheart. Got married at 17 to get away from my mother. And one morning I woke up and realized, what the hell have I done? And I moved right back in with my mother. Get married to get away from her and then move right back in with her. My mother and I, God bless her soul, I love her dearly. But I'll get more into that as I go ahead. When I was about 19, I had a serious car accident. I had started going to nursing school and just had too much on my plate, I guess, trying to work part-time, be married with all that involved, if you know what I mean. And go to school, study, go to classes and all. I just had too much on my plate and got in a hurry and ran a red light and had a collision with a transit bus. And for about, it took me about 6 months to recover from that. But I did manage to go back to nursing school, which, you know, I really have to pat myself on the back. And this is the one place that my mom really stepped in. If I'd ever been ashamed of myself before this time, after I had that car wreck, I was really ashamed of myself. And I really felt alone and just alone, depressed. And all, I have some neurological damage, and the speech impediment is a part. I have a little bit of speech impediment because of that. But it was only when I got to the program that I learned to be grateful that I could even talk. You know, never once did it occur to me to be grateful that I could talk. It was always about me and my neurological damage. And aren't I, you know, I need to stay all by myself because aren't I the worst one? I guess when banks, you know, like Bank of America, started giving me my balance just because they recognized my voice, I didn't have to give my number or anything. That's when I started getting over it. I say, you know, it's probably not all that bad. People love your voice. It's been a gradual thing, but, you know, people love you, Pamelia. And so that's another thing that I really like about the program. When I was seven, I told you about being married and all. Well, after I had the car accident, I just felt so self-condemning. I hated myself. I really hated myself. So that's when my alcoholism really took off. I could do things that I wouldn't dream of doing if I was drunk. I could talk to the boys. I could dance. I could do things that I would never dream of doing if I were drunk. But it turned on me. They had told me in my nursing school, because my reflexes may be a little bit slow because of the neurological damage, that it would be best for me to start out on the night shift. Now, I'm not talking afternoon shift. I'm talking about graveyard shift, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. And, of course, I always felt I needed to have a little drink to get some sleep. Of course, you have to have a little sleep. I held a resentment against that nursing instructor for almost until I got up into the program, until I realized that she told me to start off on the night shift. Don't stay on the night shift. But I did, because working at night, it was so much easier to go to work drunk. It was so much easier to sneak off on my lunch break and get drunk, because everybody else is asleep. They don't care. But like I was saying, they finally turned on me. And I really do feel like I need to mention that, to put things in the nice way, I spent 10 years or so looking for love in all the wrong places. And, something that's pretty painful, but what I've just had to say to myself is that was the only way that I could ever get into human contact. You know, I felt like I was a human being was to be with other people. And I don't know, I guess there towards the end, I was drinking 24/7. I did always manage to get a job. If I were going to be fired, I would usually wind up quitting before I got fired so I could keep my nursing license without any marks against it. And I still today, a source of pride for me is that my license has never been in jeopardy. My first sponsor, bless her heart, was intervened on at her job, and I had her license taken away from her. I met her when I went to work at the Fulton County Alcoholism Treatment Center. Now, isn't that something for an active alcoholic to go to work at a place where they're trying to teach people to live without alcohol? But I've just had to say to myself, and someone pointed out to me, that the Alcoholism Treatment Center gets more people sober than the patients. I was there because that was the place God sent me to get sober. And I tell you, I was intervened on at my job. I got to work, and after having called in for about 5 days in a row, I got to work, and there was this long list of grievances against me. And one of the grievances was that I had to have a doctor's excuse the next time I called in sick. And that was just the final blow. That was just the straw that broke the camel's back. I burst out crying, and I said, "Oh, Sally, I don't have any friends. I lay in the bed all day." So she sent me to an employee assistance person. That employee assistance person, through a set of circumstances, sent me to our sister fellowship, and through our sister fellowship, I was able to come to AA. And when I came into AA, I noticed the happy women. I hadn't been happy in so long. You know, a man talked to me, and I would say, "Oh, you must be the one. Let's go to bed." You know. Just by saying hello to me. You know, I was that lonely. I was that isolated and out of touch with reality. And that got me in a heap of trouble. Doing those kind of things. And I've just had to tell myself that I was just so hungry for any kind of touch. That's what I love about this program. Man, I can come in and hug all the men in the room. And I get my skin hunger needs met that way. I can talk to people. People will talk to me. I'm happy. I'm happy about myself and all. So, through a set of circumstances, I was led to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I had been happy in so long, and I hadn't been accepting of myself in so long, that I just took the program to heart. And they said 90 and 90, so I did my 90 and 90. And they would say, you know, all the wonderful things that would finally made some sense to me about, someone said, if you don't like the way you feel after 90 days, you're welcome to your misery back. And that just kind of blew me back for just a minute. I had been so miserable and so condemning of myself that there wasn't any way that I would consider going back to what I had been. So I celebrated my first year at Clarkston out in Tucker. That's where I would go for meetings because I was in a halfway house. And I celebrated 2 through 4 at Dogwood Group downtown. And I saw a sign on the board at Dogwood talking about there was a New Year's Eve dance at the Terra Club in Hapeville. And I said, "Man, I grew up down there." So I went back down there, and this guy asked me to square dance. And I thought, "Oh boy, I've come back home." So I started going to the Terror Club, and I spent about 13 years at the Terror Club, and there's where I guess I grew up. I matured down at the Terror Club. Like, they would say things like, if you don't want your horses to get out and run away, you might better close the barn door. You know, oh, and like, if you get a bill in the mail, you might want to pay it. I said, "Oh, okay. So, oh no, I stopped smoking cigarettes when I was 13 years sober, and they were still smoking down at the Terror Club. And So I started coming to Snapper. I just started going to different meetings, and I just fell in love with it. The people here are just wonderful, and seemed like I just related to what you people had to say, and I started to come here. They since then they have cut out smoking at the Terror Club, so I do go there occasionally, and they roll out the red carpet for me. It's like, you know, I finally arrived. I feel like I have something to say, you know, so it makes me feel pretty good. My first sponsor was one of the women who intervened on me at the Alcohol Treatment Center. I went into treatment the first time over at the old Peachtree Parkwood over here, and she sent me a card with this is, we all fall off the line sometimes, and somehow that just touched my heart. So she became my first sponsor. That lasted, I was in the halfway house and would call her and bless her heart every night. She would answer my phone call and all, and talk to me. And I guess then is when I learned that people actually do want to hear from me. And I got off that thing about, you know, get away from me, I can do it alone. I tell you, all my life I have thought, oh, I'm an independent woman, I can do it by myself. Well, I'm telling you know that little sign that talks about my best thinking got me here. My best thinking that I can do it by myself got me sitting right up here in an AA meeting, drinking a cup of coffee, trying to find out how to deal with this thing that we call life. My second sponsor I found at the Terror Club, old timer. She walked me through the steps, and you know, I told you that my mother and I have well, she says she loves me, but she's my mother and all. But I guess it's the alcoholic. It's like, don't tell me what to do. You're always telling me what to do. And like, it's like she would tell me how to be around men, how to do things around men, and she's been married 5 times. You know, I don't know. Just here lately, I have, I think my wonderful sponsor has helped me with that. She said something about ignore her or something. So, I tell you, I was sitting up here at a meeting one day, and I heard a female talk about she had heard a joke in the grapevine that went like, every time I take a drink, my panties fall down. And I thought to myself, hey, that's the girl for me. That's the one that understands right there. So I tell you, my sponsor has really helped me with my with life situations and all. I'm up there telling a 74-year-old woman how to run her life, you know. And we got into some words, we had some words, and I called up a sponsor and told her, well, I was real upset and all. And she said, well, Permia, you had just had enough. And I thought to myself, you mean it's okay for me to have had enough? You mean it's okay for me to be in a bad mood sometimes? So I just felt like, once again, I'm just a part of the herd. I'm just another female going through the growing changes and all. I moved back down to Hayville about, the south side, about 18 years ago. And just by paying bills when they come due and all, I've been able to buy a house. However, they didn't tell me that the grass was going to grow in my house. I guess I vaguely had some notion that maybe it was going to grow, but they never explained that that's what you have to do when you have a house. So far I've been able to keep the grass mowed, except for this year. And I think maybe I've got a lead on getting a yard man to do my yard, which is another growing experience for me. Hey, you mean I can handle everything? You mean I have to give myself permission to get a yard man? So it's still a growing thing for me, but I'm pretty happy. You know, I think I must have the best job in the world. I was working over here at Emory in the on the psychiatric unit, and you know, it was one of those things, my way or no way. I'm going to do it my way. Well, they showed me. You know, I thought they couldn't do without me over there. Well, they showed me they could do without me. And so I spent a long time without a job, maybe a year and a half. I'm telling you, when they talk about a dry drunk, I've had my first experience with a dry drunk. I was still going to meetings. I was still showing up, but I wasn't talking to people. My poor sponsor here had to hear from me several times. And she would have the nerve to say, it's going to be okay. And I would say, but you don't understand. Yada, yada, yada. It's going to be okay. And sure enough, it turned out that it was okay. And I believe I've got the best job for me right now. I'm working at a senior daycare center. I go to work at 12 and I get off at 6. I've got enough to pay my little bills, put $2 in the basket, go to the grocery store, put gas in my car, and I'm so happy. You know, I feel like I'm of service to people. It's not all about the big bucks anymore. It's not all about proving, well, yeah, I'm a nurse. I can get out there and make the big bucks. I've got money to keep me happy, and I'm happy. And, you know, I believe it shows, because I guess I just woke up and realized that, yeah, you know, you may have this real good job, but how about doing things with people? How about going to workshops? And how about going places with people and learning to get along with people? And I tell you, all my life I've said, get away from me, I can do it myself, get away from me. Until I realized one day that people took me at my word. They got away from me. And now I'm saying, you know, how can I improve my personal situation? During this dry drunk, I guess I've had another spiritual awakening. I've realized that, you know, I need to watch what comes out of my mouth. I need to stop the self-condemnation. And I need to tell myself that I am a valuable and worthy person. So that's what I've been doing. Even at my job, I have to make a lot of X's for the attendance record. And I will say, I'm a worthwhile and worthy person. I'm a worthwhile and worthy person. And that's the way I get my affirmations in. And I really noticed how much of the isms that I have. You know, everything's going okay for me when I've got the job making the big bucks, and I've got the car that runs, and everything's going fine for me. But you let something go wrong, and that's when I really have to dig in and see what's the matter with me. So, you know, I do know that we're having a real special person pick up the chip tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and end. But I did want to say before I end that, you know, I feel like I owe my life to AA, because if I had continued going as I was, either another bad car accident or someone would have shot me being in the wrong part of town. And I really feel that AA has given me my life back. I remember someone saying, AA doesn't give you a new lease on life, it gives you a new life. And I believe that I have been given a new life, because 98% of the time I'm fairly happy with myself. I've got friends, I see my parents like a dutiful daughter, and I'm learning, like Helen was saying, how to get along with people better. And I just feel like I'm a happier person today. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Pamela. That was very special.